grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our second lesson, Book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, now the school year is beginning to wind down, and this is the time of year when college students are looking for summer jobs. I think back over the years, the different jobs I had when I was going to school, most of them involved something like mowing lawns or trimming hedges or outdoor work, something like that, or sometimes it was restaurant work. One job was on a painting crew, painting college dorms on the outside and on the inside, and that was okay work. You learned a steady hand with a brush, but while it was okay work, we had one difficulty, and that was that our foreman was an alcoholic. And when he was sober, he was mean. He would pick things apart. He would be arbitrary. He would be critical. He'd always be finding fault. When you hear his voice coming down the hall, everybody just freeze. Now what is it going to be? Could never please the guy. Just couldn't please him. And this will sound funny coming from a preacher, but we were glad when he was gone. When he left for a little while, we were glad when he would leave for a little while for a stretch, because for one thing, he wasn't there chewing us out. And secondly, we weren't dumb. We knew what he was doing. He'd leave for a while and go get a drink. And we were glad for it. We were glad for it because when he'd come back, he was mellow and easygoing and easy to work with, and he was everybody's friend until he wasn't. And he went back the other way. Nobody was happy about it, but what? You put up with it. You put up with it. Why? You need the money for college. You put up with it because it's only going to be a couple of months. You put up with it because eventually the big boss heard about it. The big boss was wise to the situation, and eventually he fired the fellow. And all of us did what? We breathed a sigh of relief. Now we can get back to work and enjoy what we're doing. But what if there's no relief? What if there's no relief? What if you're working long hours and you're not getting paid for it? What if your work is not just for a couple of months, but it's for a lifetime and you can't switch jobs? What if you're not thanked for it? What if your boss is arbitrary and picky and critical and who knows what mood he's going to be in today? No pleasing the guy. What if? What if you are in a situation like that? Well, I guess we'd call that slavery. And that's what they called it back in Peter's day, too. It was called slavery, being a slave. Today's lesson addressed to such people. Household slaves, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and to the gentle ones, but also to the harsh ones. Because this is a gracious thing. When conscious of God, a person endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what reputation is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. Now that lesson speaks from personal experience in a time period where they had slavery. And it tells us, based on personal experience, that some masters had the reputation of being good and gentle. They don't approve of slavery, but they had that reputation of being good and gentle. On the other hand, there were other masters who had the reputation of being harsh and demanding and unreasonable. Now, as God's word usually does, our lesson for today takes us into an unforeseen direction, a place we might not ordinarily go to. It says this, not what is the master's reputation, good and gentle or harsh and critical. It says instead, what's the slave's reputation? Especially, what is the Christian slave's reputation? Because we know that many early Christians were slaves. Now, as a slave, you have a couple of possibilities. You could be a rascal, and you could be a tough guy, and you could take a beating. You could earn a beating, and you could take one. And we know from contemporary records that some slaves would compete with each other to see who could take the worst beating and still hold their head high and show that they could handle it. There's another possibility. You could respond more passively. You could drag your feet in your work. You could do work slowdowns. You could do the least possible thing. You could always have a sour attitude. You could passively rebel. But there is another possibility. And this is one open only to Christian people, and that is that you could do what is right. You could do what is right. That's your target. That's your goal. You're being punished for what's right. Like the old saying says, no good deed goes unpunished. And you do what? You bear up under the beating, not in pride, not to show that nobody can break you, but because you're conscious of God. Conscious of God. Today's lesson, to this you were called. To this you were called. Now, how could a slave be called? Called anything. You are at the beck and call of your master. And yet, even there's room in slavery to be called by God too. Because you have another master. You are conscious of God. Today's lesson again. For into this you were called. Because also Christ suffered on your behalf, leaving behind a pattern, in order that you might follow in his footprints, who did no sin, nor was there found deceit in his mouth, who being reviled did not revile back. He suffered and he did not keep on threatening, but he kept handing it over. Good old Greek present tense, continuous action. He kept on handing it over to the one who judged righteously. It says, Christ left behind a pattern. And I hear that, I think back to my mom when I was growing up. And she would go to it's not the clothing store, what do you call it, where you buy all the bolts of cloth. She would buy a whole bunch of cloth and then she'd get what? A paper book of patterns. And you take those patterns and you put them over the cloth. I remember watching her do this a little bit before I was not interested as a boy. But she would do what? She'd take the pattern, put it over the cloth, put needles on it or pins or however you call it, and then she would cut it out and she would sew things together. A pattern. Without the pattern, what? Who knows what you're doing? Here it's a pattern, but it's a different kind of pattern, actually. It's a hippogrammaton, which means writing underneath. And you do this for a little kid. You want them to learn their alphabet? What do? You have a letter written underneath, and then you put tracing paper over it, and they can do what? They can copy how the letter is supposed to look. And so it is. You learn your letters. You learn how the Lord does things. You learn how the Lord looks at things. You learn how the Lord judges things. Christ left behind a pattern. And not only that, Christ left behind his footsteps. A couple weeks back, we were out in Eastern Oregon, my wife and son and I. And my wife and son went on ahead. I was pokey and slow. I was still trying to get my boots on. Where'd they go? How do I know? Look down at the sand and what? The only people out there for the last couple of weeks. Watch the, follow the footprints. They show you the path which to take. And so Christ left behind for us what? He left behind a pattern. He left behind footprints to step in, to show the way. And so, Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. In other words, that's your possession. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be held on to, but he emptied himself. He took the form of a slave. He was born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He took the form of a slave. That's the pattern. That's the footprints. Now, some years back, it was very common to talk about life in the church and to talk about honoring God with your time and your treasures and your talent. Remember hearing that from the pulpit, perhaps? Time, treasures, and talent, the three T's. It's really catchy. It's a nice idea. But what if your time is not your own? What if you have no treasures? What if your talent is there, but it's never recognized, it's never valued, it's never fully put to use? What if you're a slave? Well, the judgment of this age says that's not good. It shakes its head and it says you got a ruined life. You got a wasted life. One of our old hymns talks about it. It says, on earth, this is talking about Christian people, on earth their work was not thought wise, but see them now in heaven's eyes. The old hymn. It comes out in the old spirituals. A wisdom of the slaves. I like the old spirituals. I like them because they use few words, but they have great weight. Words that speak right to the heart, right to the heart of the issue. They're written by people who don't have any opportunities, people who don't have any way of being free, people who don't have a way to go forward just on their own steam. They can't have time or treasures or talent, but what do? They cry out to the Lord, they turn to the Lord, they wait for the Lord, they keep on handing it over to the Lord over and over again. On earth their work was not thought wise, but see them now in heaven's eyes. It's the wisdom of God in those who were slaves, because they're like their master Jesus. He was also in the form of a slave. For into this, today's lesson, you were called. Because also Christ suffered on your behalf, leaving behind the pattern, in order that you might follow in his footprints, who did no sin, nor was there deceit in his mouth, who being reviled did not revile back, suffering he didn't keep threatening, he kept handing it over to God who judges righteously, who in our sins himself carried away in his body upon the cross, taking those sins away in order that getting away from sins we might live to righteousness, and by his stripes you are healed. Because you were like sheep continually going astray, being deceived, but now you have turned back to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. That's the wisdom of the slave. The flip side of that is that there is the danger of foolishness for the free person. A danger of going astray, of being deceived, of going off the right path. And why? Because you're tempted in your freedom to follow your own lead, your own thinking, your own way of doing things, your own talents, your own abilities. And it's tempting because society around you is doing that. It's re-paganizing. It's going away from the Christian faith to other things. And you see foolish people re-glorifying the old ways, re-glorifying the way of strength and the way of might and the way of power and the way of domination and the way of control and the way of the fist, the way of the master, the way of the ruler, the way of the owner, the way of Satan, who said, you can be like God. You can be like God. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not a free person. I belong to the Lord Jesus. And I'm a slave, but I belong to the Lord Jesus. And I want to go the way of the Lord Jesus. I want to walk in his footsteps. I want to follow the pattern that he traces out. Because, see, you don't have to teach me the other way. I already know that one. I already know how to do sin. I already know how to be deceitful. I already know how to revile. I know how to threaten. I know how to swing the sword. I know how to do work slowdowns. I know how to give trouble. I know how to have a bad attitude. But you know what? I don't want to go that way anymore. I know how I want to go instead, with my Lord Jesus. The Bible says, by his stripes, healing and salvation came to the world. Maybe by my stripes, maybe by what happens to me, what I get hit over the head with. Maybe in a small way, salvation might come to the world through that too. But even if not, I'll trust the Lord. Even if his purposes are hidden, I'll trust the Lord. Because I know that he's a big boss. And I know that he has a hand on things. And I know he'll get the last word. And I know the day's coming when he's going to fire Satan and be gone. And I know that I can keep on handing it over to him who judges justly. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.